gorgeous, but people will spend like 20 grand on just like a shelf.
Oh, it's crazy.
And it's like gorgeous wood or whatever, but
with all the remodeling stuff we've been doing next door over there, everything you want naturally is the most expensive thing.
Oh, I know.
And to start looking at certain things, tables, chairs, whatever, tile, any of it, all of it, it's like, okay, all of a sudden, like, I can't pay $100 a square foot for tile, or like,
I know,
$6,000 for a chair. And then you get sucked into these websites and you're like, that's awesome. Boom, 10 grand. That money, man. Like, what? What?
I just want to, like, well, we're going to put new seats on our old 25-year-old chairs. It's like, how can it be $4,000 to put new cushions on chairs?
And right.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like,
I think the worst part is when you break it down and it starts making sense and you're like, God.
Oh, man.
I don't think
it's
could have been
not 1990 anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah. Oh, for shoot. Oh.
Beans, this is going to cost me an arm and a leg.
Speaking of expensive things you've been investing in.
Well, first off, who?
Well.
Who indeed?
Who? Well, this is our friend Johnny. Johnny Resnick.
Hi, boys.
He started the Rambler food truck when he was in the VFW?
Yeah, VFW in Lincoln Park. That was our first home.
Oh. Yep.
Yep.
And when he moved out, he gave me the fridge we still use. We hauled it out of the basement.
Still, I'm glad it's still kicking. That was a lot of work.
Oh, my gosh. It's like six people hauling this fridge out of the basement of the VFW.
We're tough. We're tough, dude. We did it. It was all good. It
could be worse.
Yep.
It has been worse.
A fridge was really heavy?
Well, it was in the basement. It was like a three-door, like, chest, like, prep table.
It's upstairs. Oh. If you ever come when we're making scotcheroos, it's that table.
This is the one that's, like, on the back wall? Like, not
like when
not
you're washing
counter.
Dishes and turn around, it's that table.
Okay. So
Johnny gave that, donated that to the cause, and he's like, if you can help get it out of here, you can have it.
Yeah, yep.
And I'm like, that's my middle name.
Yeah. That was a lot of work, though.
No one ever says that on siding.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can just get this off my house, you can put it on yours for free. It's like, well, it never works, actually.
It doesn't work. Yeah. Yeah.
What is that siding you're doing? It's like...
It's on the front. It's a ceramic tile.
Wow.
Or a concrete tile. It's a concrete tile, yeah.
Mm. Well, if you don't know, Johnny has the Rambler food truck, but when he got out of the VFW, he bought the building across from the cafe, and it's Midcoast Catering, does a bunch of weddings and a whole bunch of caters, movies.
Events,
he's probably catered a movie you worked on.
I don't know about a movie, but I think I've seen Midcoast at the Depot for Historical Society events.
Yeah, yep, exactly. We've done stuff for that. I mean, we do whatever anybody needs.
Yeah.
Really,
right.
They want gluten-free. He's like, okay, we'll do it, you know, whatever it is. But then he bought the next building over, and it's going to be...
It's going to be an event space, yeah. So we're calling it the tasting room, and essentially our former neighbor, Michael Tallarico, he was in there. He's a lawyer, and he kind of just downsized, and now he's starting to work out of his house. And so the opportunity arose to grab this building, and it kind of opened up the door for us to make a small event space. It's only going to hold, I think, like 45 people is what the fire department's saying, but like I would cook for 45 people all day, and it's really going to open up the door for us to be able to do more stuff that we can't necessarily do offsite. Mm-hmm. And like, we'll be able to do smaller events for groom's dinners or corporate events or holiday parties or whatever. And we'll also be able to do stuff for like Valentine's Day and like do little couples things. And I think like every business I've started, I'm like, it's going to go this way, you know, but it always differently shifts and goes a different direction. So it's going to be a lot of fun over the next few years, kind of seeing how everything's going to fall into place. And it's also allowed us to get our liquor license, which is huge.
You're getting a liquor license?
Yeah, which is great because we haven't been able to, we fall right in this weird place where we're not a restaurant and we don't have an event space. So the Minnesota liquor laws don't allow us to get a license.
What would you use it for besides the event space?
Well, for like weddings. Let's say we do a wedding at Glen Sheen. Someone
now you can get
us.
you can get a catering license. Oh, because you. Okay, yeah. I've never wanted to do that, so that makes sense.
Not many people do.
No. Yeah, actually, everything you do, I'm like, I love you, but why are you doing that? It sounds...
I feel like you have to be somewhat self-deprecating to be in the catering business.
I do love a good masochist.
Yeah, I think all of us though. You know what I mean though? It's like we, you know, we work, all of us, you work hard. I mean, we all work hard. We're in the service industry, you know? So
yeah,
it's
how could
like
you not?
We work hard, but we love what we do. I think we all care about people and we love that side of it, but it can be a lot of work and it can be somewhat unthankful at times. But then other times you're like, oh, okay, this is why I do this and I appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
But
wow, I love it. So you mentioned many businesses. So you started the Rambler. By the way, the first photo on my phone is you first started the Rambler when you were, I don't know how old we were, but it's the first one on my phone. If I scroll to the beginning of my phone,
he proved this to
you
to
and me
the other day.
Like outside Bent Paddle a long time ago.
Okay.
Like when you were first starting.
You don't have still have the same phone, do you?
I don't.
12 years ago?
Okay. Well, I kind of do. Actually, I only have one different phone since. Yeah,
that's good for you.
Yeah. Wait, really?
I
since 2012?
Like I just got a brand new phone the day we met, and I got one new phone since.
Wow. That's crazy.
I know.
Different priorities, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a weirdo that way. I kind of just stick with the old stuff.
Hey, but if it doesn't, it's not broke.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
It's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, and if it is broke only a little bit.
Yeah.
You can
live with it. It works.
It's like I have to crawl through the passenger door to get in. It still works, but
yeah.
I'll fix it someday, right?
Yeah. Or you won't.
Or you won't.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
It's not going to kill you, probably.
Everybody knows where to find you.
That's
you know?
True. I know. That is true.
Going then even before all these food trucks and everything, I'm just curious, when did you get into food and when did you discover that it was something that you wanted to?
I don't know if it was something I was seeking out necessarily. I moved up to Duluth in 2004 and I started working for Savory's Catering when they were around.
So cool.
And I started baking there.
Who owned Savory's back then?
Well, it was so Beth Cherney is the one who started it and she, I think, sold it to the Gold Vines for ZMC. So it was out of the Edgewater off London Road.
Yeah.
Where, like the water park is now and stuff. So she started it and then she ran it forever. And so when I started there, I was baking under Lisa Fulmer and then started, you know, eventually made my way into the kitchen and started doing other stuff. And I just kind of fell in love with catering because I guess I saw the art side of it. You know, you get to establish this relationships with your customers over time and then you get to take a day or two or three to prepare this sweet meal for a special event.
That
and it's not
cool.
Always that cool, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's we do a lot of box lunches and there's not a lot of fun in that
easy
necessarily
cater.
But like yeah. But there's a lot of cool stuff that we do. Like you'd mentioned, we gotta do stuff backstage down at Bayfront or doing movies and that's a lot of fun.
I think the backstage is super cool.
Yeah.
The backstage food when it's good, everyone's so amazed.
See, and that's
more
of your world
because
you play a lot, you know? And so you get experience
that stuff. If there's good
backstage
food, it's like, what? Like I played Reggae Fest and it's like fresh fruit? Wow.
Yeah.
Mangoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, it's like anytime it's like not just like hot dogs or pizza or whatever, you know, quick pizza and
easy
whatever.
Stuff. Yeah.
Easy
yep.
stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, to see like somebody actually cared about what they were doing and I think that's what I enjoy about it. But yeah, so it started with Savory's and then after a little bit, we'll just say I was in between jobs.
I like that.
And a friend at the time mentioned about starting a food truck. And this is probably like 2009.
So not a lot of food trucks around.
There was
especially
none,
here.
There was
no,
none
you were like the first.
There were none.
Well, there was Chow How.
There's Chow. Yeah. And Keith will always say that he was the first, which, okay. So Keith opened in Moose Lake on like July 3rd of 2012. And I opened up here on July 4th.
Oh no.
So Keith would be like, I was the first food truck in Duluth. And I'm like, dude, you didn't even open this county. Like you're in Carlton County. Like
wow,
it doesn't count.
Trash on the
so
market.
Whatever though. It's all good. Either way, we were both. And then even before us though, there was Habaneros, which they didn't really get out. They didn't do much. I think they were
Habaneros. I don't remember that.
Nobody. They were owned by the same people who own. I want to say Canal Park Brewing.
Oh.
And so it just kind of sat down there. I don't think they did a lot of stuff with it. I think they were trying to figure out what to do and get it started, but it's a lot of work, you know? So if you have a lot of other businesses going and you try to start a food truck, I think.
A food truck is its own thing. I mean, it's like its own staffing. It's like where to go. I mean, just trying to make this place run, I literally can't imagine running a food truck because you're going to a new place every day and you don't know how much to bring.
Right.
And if you make too much, you throw it away. If you don't make enough, you run out.
Or how do you reuse it? And
yeah.
That's kind of what the first 3 to 4 years were for us.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. The first 3 or 4 years, like I remember, like before I opened, it was like you said, all right, we're going to be one of the first ones up here. We're going to kill it. Because at this time too, like they were just getting big in Minneapolis.
Oh, sure.
You know, they had been on the East and West Coast for a very long time. And so, you know, there was probably, I think, 20 of them down in the cities at the time. So I was like, we're going to crush it. And like, that's not what happened at all.
Someone got crushed.
Yeah. Yeah. My dreams. My dreams. But like I remember one of the first event, well, I'll even back up a little bit. The first day we were supposed to go out, the truck broke down.
Oh.
And that was before.
Not the green one.
Yeah. The green. Yep. Yeah.
The brand new one.
It broke down and.
Wasn't it brand new?
No, because I got it rebuilt. So it's a 99 P30 step van. They rebuilt the engine. Yeah.
That's a 1999 van?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It looks so brand new.
Yep. Wait, the one you still use now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
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 That blows my mind.
Yeah, if you drove it, you'd be like, oh, yeah, it's a 99. yeah.
It's like my plow truck.
Yeah. You're like,
or my dad's
plow
truck he gave me.
Yeah, so it broke down, and that was like going to be our first little test shift. And then our next shift was the very next day on the 4th. And that was, if you remember when Shane Bauer was doing Bridge Fest.
Absolutely.
Yep. And so, okay. So the first Bridge Fest was our first time cooking on that thing or doing anything.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah.
That was a weird whole day in general.
It was a new event, which is awesome. And I remember going very well. Like, I think Bridge Fest was a very cool idea.
Well,
I missed that event.
So much love.
Yes, exactly.
So many amazing people involved.
Right. And just the sense of community, which that festival, that event instilled was so cool to be a part of.
Yeah.
And so that was our first event, though. And so it was three of us cooking on there who have worked with each other before, but not in this environment, not with these recipes, not with this food, not in, you know. And so it was, I mean, it went as good as it possibly could have, but we learned a lot that day.
You had a little bit of a line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a little bit of a line. Yep. Yeah. Yep. But which was fine. Like, you know, it's funny. I wish I could go back to that day and look at it, right? To see like how good or bad or whatever we did that day. But we're still here, so we had to do something, right?
Yeah.
You know, right? I mean, but that's what it's been. It's just been, you know, like I mentioned before, the first 3-4 years were just like, where do we go? What are we about? Do we do early morning breakfast? Do we do late night stuff?
Mm.
You know, where do we go for lunch?
Well, that's why you guys are killing it. I mean, you're just like picking these hot spots, picking these cool community events, picking really cool food and understanding the diversity of our region and like who wants what. And so you'll have a falafel thing, mahi-mahi tacos.
And that was kind of the point of like calling it the Rambler because like, you know, it's a dude who goes all over the place, right?
Sure,
so then it kind of opens up what we can do on the truck menu-wise.
Yeah, it's not
there's
just
a lot of people
barbecue
who,
pork or
right,
one
which,
thing.
Which people, yeah, which there's is definitely awesome if you do that. You know
it's
what I
smart.
Mean? Yeah, it's smart. Then you're like, this is what we do and we do it well.
Right, yeah.
And then you just do the same thing and people get to know and you don't have to reinvent it.
But. Right. And there's, yeah, people are familiar. They always know they're going to get the same thing. And like, I don't know. I feel like
I'm
doing some different stuff and throwing some different stuff out there like is fun, you know?
So how often do you think you're changing things around these days?
Not as often as I'd like. I'm not on the truck as much as I wish I was. Between Midcoast and the tasting room and everything else. So like I'm trying to get back to those roots a little bit and start putting some different stuff on the truck. And I'd like to, in a perfect world, right? It would be fun to try something every 2 weeks.
Oh,
you know, I think, you know, and get different stuff out there, but it takes time to get momentum as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and to source the things and
right.
Yeah.
And do it right. And I feel like everything that we have on the menu, that's always, you know, that's been on the menu for a while has proven true to stick in that people
mahi
like
mahi
it.
Taco is always
Yeah, people awesome. Love them. Yeah,
the Reuben balls. Everyone loves the Reuben balls.
Doing research for this episode, my mouth was watering. Oh, man.
You should have told me to bring something. You know, I brought something.
You know, there was, right. guys, there was part of me that was hoping you would.
I didn't even think about it, man. We were on the truck today, and it was toasty.
Oh, my
God. Just toasty is just, it's humid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's the hottest temperature you've been in that truck?
I'm sure it's probably been 115, 120. Like,
at least.
There's a few times throughout the summer that, like, it'll be so hot outside.
Yeah.
Where you, like, want to get off the truck to cool off, but
it's
you can't.
Hotter.
Yeah, and it's just, it's ridiculous.
I know.
Wait, what do you do? Then?
Well, it's dump water on your head, chug water, and go back to work.
I guess, okay.
Well, it's funny, I feel...
Stick your head in
a long time, like,
cold,
a lot of the...
cold ice plant. No, don't do
well,
that.
Well, we had, like, originally we had an AC unit on there, and, like... but it would get so hot and it wouldn't do anything.
It would
just suck
nothing.
Up power.
Yeah. Oh,
and so sure. It's like, what's the point? You know?
Yeah,
so
just
like,
fans. Just keep.
Well, and that's
fans
it. And
going.
Forever, I was like, we don't need fans. Da, da, da,
oh, yeah. You got
to. You know?
Have fans.
And all my guys are like, we need to do fans. We need to get something. And so got fans on there and I was in there. And this actually just happened recently. I was on the truck. I was on the fryer side and that fan was going. I was like, oh, it's actually pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. You got it. Yeah.
Well, I'm just like, tough it out. Yeah. In my mind, you know, I didn't say that to my guys or anything, but that's what I think always, right? Like, just
I have that problem.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Yep. Drink water. Yeah, pass exactly, out, go take five and come back.
Yeah.
I would never say that. I would think that for myself. I would do that.
Because you're a masochist.
That's what we do. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we're in this in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
How many tattoos do you have?
Tattoos?
None?
No, I got a bunch.
Oh, you got a bunch.
I just can't see them. They're all
I was just thinking of other ways to cause pain to your body.
Cause pain? Yeah. I got, my whole back's done, my arms. Yeah. It's all, but I keep it business everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I was like, seemed like you would have a lot of tattoos, but they're all hidden.
They're all hidden. Yep.
No teardrops.
Yep. No teardrops. Nope. Nope. I got other scars. I've done time.
So you, why open a food truck as opposed to a brick and mortar space, especially considering you eventually did open up a catering
kind
space?
Kind of. It's not, well, the catering's different, though.
It's
you
different.
Know
you're
mean?
Right, it is
and
different.
Even like
true.
With this event space, it's different. People sure. are like, oh, so it's a restaurant. I'm like, hell no, it's not
no,
a restaurant.
No, yeah, right,
yeah,
right,
no,
right.
not at all. It's not a restaurant. Like, it's, I wouldn't want to do a restaurant. That's just, it all, to everybody, and myself included, it always seems glamorous to do that, right?
To which one?
To a restaurant?
To restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it does to a lot of people. A lot of people,
I
you
feel
talk
very
to, like,
glamorous.
You do?
Yeah,
well,
sure you do.
But you've been in it for 25 years.
Like, it makes me feel extra glamorous.
But I feel like it is. A lot of people are like, oh, I'd love to do this. I think it'd be fun. And I think a lot of people don't realize the work that goes into it, whether it's a restaurant or a catering company or a food truck or anything in the service industry. Like, you know, you're not working 40 hours a week. You're, especially in the beginning, you're working 80, 90, 100 hours a week. And Bill doesn't show up at his 6 a.m. shift. Well, guess who's coming in to open? And then you got to close that night. And then you got to go home and do the books or whatever. You know what I mean?
Quarterly,
it's just
withholdings.
Like, yeah. You know, and it's just, it's a lot of work. Anything in the service industry and the hospitality industry is a lot of work. And I think you really have to like what you're doing and enjoy, you know, being of service to people in your community in order to do that. Right. I think that's why we do this. So you get a sense of pride in a way.
You say it in a much cooler way than I do.
Well, I think, but I mean, I think that's
you
why
you have a positive spin to it.
Don't get me wrong. It's not like I do that too, but when you get down to it and you really think about it, like, I mean, you started this originally 25 years ago. Why? You know, because you wanted to serve good coffee. You wanted to be able to do something cool for people. You obviously like talking to people. You started a place that people can play music, and, you know, music and coffee and feeding people and camaraderie. That's why you started this.
I'm,
and that's
I'm
what
teasing.
You,
I
yeah,
do still
you know,
love it.
Like,
I'm
like,
teasing.
Like, no, you mentioned it.
I do love it.
Yeah.
I actually definitely would have quit by now.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely insane.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yep. Like I said, you got to have a little hatred for yourself.
You
deep in your heart.
But I guess it's just the passion for, is it for cooking or is it for serving? Or what is it that really seems to drive it then?
I don't know. I think it's the controlled chaos of the kitchen.
Oh, sure.
In the weddings and the food truck and I don't know.
I guess there is like a tangible
control
end result,
chaos
too.
Is it is. You get bored easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
So maybe that's also a huge part of it. Yeah,
well, it's like
it's stimulating.
It's like this is a live action Sudoku puzzle.
Yeah, kind of. You know,
and your own adventure.
I mean, for me, like if I have time on my hands and you give me a problem to solve, I'm going to muff it up and I'm just going to sit on it and overthink it. Yep, and I feel like in a kitchen or in a busy scenario, you give me a problem and it's like, well, let's do this.
Yeah,
and we'll figure it out later. Yep. You know, if it's wrong, if it's right, whatever, cool, but we'll figure it out later.
I love that. That is true.
And that's
triage,
kind
I guess.
Of fun. Yeah.
Living in triage.
Right. But it's fun. And I mean, all the people, I mean, that we've met, I've met,
met all
along the
random
years,
adventures like, you end up in.
I couldn't see myself doing anything else. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I still don't know what I'm going to do when I'm all grown up and older, but like,
that's what I think too.
I like what I'm doing now, you know?
So yeah, I suppose just take it as it comes.
Yeah. And it's like, and I think you do as well. You know, I have a hell of a crew that works for me.
You always have a cool crew.
Yeah. I've lucked out when it comes to that big time. And Kelsey, my office manager, she knows as much, if not more, about what we do than I do, you know. She's great at what she does, and I think we have a great leadership team, and I think that trickles down a lot, and it's fun, you know what I mean, going down to do Willie Nelson down at Bayfront, or you know, catering a movie set, or you know, even you know, doing something, not sound dark, but like doing a funeral, you know what I mean, like to see all these different scenarios of life and people, and it's not sitting in a kitchen with no windows slaving away cooking all day, you know, we actually get to go out and, like I said before, be a part of the community and be there for people. And I think that's the difference for me between, to get back to your original question, between like a restaurant and everything else.
You get to kind of really, really get involved with the outside world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm no longer a dishwasher, but for a little while earlier this
year.
You're not? No. Because what you were just saying, you're stuck in this little dish pit, no windows, it's hot, and you're just scrubbing dishes in one spot all day long. And it's just not enjoyable at all.
You know what's funny though? I always say if nobody can ever find me, I move to a different state and I'm just a dishwasher somewhere. That's what I'd love to do. Like washing dishes. I love washing dishes at the shop. Like, leave me alone. I'm just back here doing my thing.
There's that book, that dishwasher, I think it's called. It's like a guy that just like traveled all around and would just get a dishwashing job and just keep going. Like, work here for a month, for a month. And,
to each their own.
It'd be cool. Like,
you get a whole community. I mean, the kitchen crew, I mean, it's almost like being in theater, right? It's like, it's a culture. It's like
a little more rugged theater.
Yes.
A little bit. Back of house theater. Yeah.
Someone who's done both.
Yes. Yep.
Rugged theater.
Yeah. But also, I mean, the crew there at the Duluth Grill was so pleasant and nice.
Yeah.
And that was kind of hard to leave, but the job itself I didn't like.
Well, and I think that's like, I know Tom Hansen's definitely done that with his businesses, and I've seen you've done that, and I think there's a lot of people who have done that. Mark and Derek over at Lake Ave, like they create a positive work environment that people want to work at.
And you work harder than I feel like when you're in that environment, because you don't want to let all these other people down that you're so fond of.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And there's, I mean, there are a lot of places. Kitchen work's hard work. You hear horror stories. You know, if anybody's read like Kitchen Confidential from Anthony Bourdain, or worked a little bit in any kitchen in Duluth, outside of Duluth, wherever, like, I mean, you can put in some hours, and there's sometimes not a lot of friendly people there, and it's a whole different environment too. Like you know, a lot of people work hard and party hard, you know, which I've definitely put my time into partying, you know, and but I mean, you know, how do you separate that, and how do you, what's too much, what's too little? And so I think for me, having a safe environment where people can come and feel safe and have a good time and be around each other and feel welcomed, and that they're not going to be judged or taken advantage of, or just have a safe place, is part of the thing I strive to do.
Yeah.
I think you do the same thing, you know?
It's sort of accidental. It's not like I ever thought about that, but it's like, who doesn't want a safe place? It's like, as this place grew, I mean, it was like 2 people, 3, 4, 5, 6. All of a sudden, it's a multiple people working here, and all of a sudden, one person's not fitting and someone's not feeling safe. All of a sudden, it's like, weird, what's happening? So that didn't even get on my radar for like a long time, because of course, why wouldn't you want to, you know, but I never worked in, randomly, I just worked at Jitters and pizza places and Like,
I missed
my old
game.
Boss at the pizza place was like, he's like, I don't know. He's like, let's take a break and drink a beer and watch The Simpsons. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, like,
I can stay on clock,
like,
right?
Okay, I gotta go. I gotta go. He's like, oh, have a beer. I'm like, well, okay. And it's like, well, now I gotta walk home. You know, it's like, by the way, I'm only 18. You know, yeah. It's like, I don't care. I don't care either, but yeah. Whatever. You know?
Thought I'd tell you.
You know, but it's like, so it's like, I don't know. I just never worked a kitchen job where there was any weird, unsafe stuff.
Yeah.
But now I know a lot more about how things really work, and I see how, like, abuse can happen, and, like, people can get in, like, management jobs or kitchen manager jobs, salary jobs, where you're just, like, kind of enslaved almost, you know? And it was just, it's not fun, or people are, like, you know, serve front of house, back of house animosity, you know?
Yeah.
But as a thing grows, as this place grew with more people, it's like, if I'm here all the time, it's just one kind of normal thing. But the more to do and the more people involved, the more things can go wrong and the right. more bad feelings can happen.
Yeah, more moving parts.
And then someone can come in that's not cool.
And you'll know that. Yeah, you'll see that right away because, like you said earlier, that it'll shift. Something will shift.
Yeah,
something
three
will change
really great people quit. And now it's like, what is happening? Yeah, it's like.
And you're like, oh, I got this person.
Yeah. That's not good.
Is this a problem?
It might be a problem.
Like, man.
I still don't, I'm still not really good. I've never been called eagle eyes on anything.
You're no. not
literally or any other way.
Hear the sound reflecting off your thick glasses. Did you feel a similar learning curve? Well, I mean, was the Rambler your first time being a boss or?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. Not even pretty much. Yeah. There's no pretty much. Well, it was weird because those first like 3, 4, or 5 years, there was like, it would be me and two other people. Mm-hmm. And so, and it was all people,
sweet
especially
spot.
In the first 2 years where I knew them, you know, and they were excited to start something new and be a part of something new that wasn't up here yet. And so, and then after that, it was kind of, okay, I need more people. Okay, I need serious people. Okay, we're growing. This is getting bigger.
Yeah.
I need to start thinking more about what are we really doing here, you know? Yeah, and then eventually, you know what happened? It was moved in that building across the street, Midcoast building, and it was me and Chris, our kitchen manager, and Kelsey, and then Matt and Taylor, two people who were working on the truck as well. And so it was us five kind of growing the business, doing weddings, doing everything. And then, you know, you get one or two more people here the next year and so on and so forth. And that's kind of how it went for the last 7 years because it's been, this is our 12th year of the food truck and 7th year of Midcoast.
How many people work there now?
I think we have... It's right around 13 full-time people for the summer,
that's
though, for the summer,
that's
you know,
heavy,
that's May through October.
But it's not many considering, because on a day, is it not true, you might have the food truck out and do two weddings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's not many people to do that kind of work.
Right. And
you're
then
making
we do have a bunch
scratch.
Of part-time people as well who work just
you might have 20
on
people
weekend.
On the payroll.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow.
I know we have that, but it's like I said, some of them
it's
just work Saturdays.
It's probably similar to this place. Then for scheduling and logistics, I guess.
And it's all, I was talking to Tina about this upstairs, but it's like, how much do you want to take on? You know what I mean? Like, you could take on a lot, but then you're going to drain everybody out.
Right.
And for us, like, July, August, September are our busiest months. So come August, like, we have a lot of stuff going on. And it's like, do you want to have everybody working 40 plus hours a week for three, you know, and working really hard and it's hot. And like I said before, the work's hard and it's sometimes a little thankless and like, you know, and so it's just trying to figure out how much to take. And especially over the last 2 years after COVID, I feel like a lot of people wanted to do stuff. You know, a lot of people were getting married. A lot of people were doing events and
everything
coming out
was
of the
on
woodwork.
Hold and then the flood. That's what happened here, too. It's like everyone wanted to come to a show. Everyone wanted to get out and it was
get
wild.
Out and be around people and have it come back to, you know, normal, if you will. And then now I feel like this year it's kind of starting to.
Yep. Exactly.
Settle down a little bit. And it's like everything's still great. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it's not what it was those last 2 years.
It's
and so
like normalizing.
Yeah. Which is nice too, because the last 2 years, I feel like it was
too much.
Yeah. It was too much. It was, you know, there's a good 5-month run of 60-80 hour work weeks and make stuff happen. And yeah,
that's the way I feel.
Yeah. And so for, to be able to breathe and have like a little bit of, you know, we're in Duluth, we get 4 months of summer if we're really lucky, and to be able to be able to enjoy that though, you know, and, or the fall or whatever, but just to be able to enjoy that has been huge. And I feel like I've actually been able to do that this year. And so, yeah, it's just finding that balance, right? That balance of how much do we want to work? How much do we want to take on? What are we doing?
I call it my rubber band. Like, it's like, I feel like you can stretch your rubber band, but I think you're born with only so much stretch in your rubber band.
Yeah.
And if you just keep getting stretched too much, you know, it's like an old rubber band sitting
you're
in the sun.
All
it's
floppy,
like,
dude.
It's floppy. It's gonna break. That's the way I feel. It's like
feel
my
like
rubber band's
a little
floppy. Like old floppy rubber band.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like a little floppy.
Going back a second, just speak of that brief summer that we have. And you also mentioned earlier that there were more food trucks when you started out in places like Minneapolis, and I know they were on the coasts as well.
Yeah.
So why do it here when you could, in theory, have a longer season somewhere else? Or
because, or like you mentioned earlier, why wasn't a, you know, why didn't you start brick and mortar or something?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
you know what I
yeah.
mean. And that's the thing, is that it was new here, and actually the idea seemed doable. It wasn't buying a $500,000 building and then all of a sudden trying to get people to go to you. It was something that wasn't being done here that was eventually going to happen one way or the other.
Sure, sure.
And so why not be a part of that and start that? Or help start that, and then see where that goes. It just, like I said, it seemed easier. And the funny thing is when I first started, I was like, I'm going to go all year round. Like, that was the plan. And then October hit, and I was like, hell no. Like, it got cold.
Yeah, the
you
grease
know?
Is frozen
yeah,
in the
yeah.
kettle. And,
yep,
and,
water's
and no one's
pipes
coming
are freezing
up anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, for me, I ended up, like, I was doing a winter job for a little bit. I was working at 301 when Kevin Ilinda was there, and just working under him. And then what happened, and this is kind of how Midcoast started, was after that first winter, I got a few catering jobs. And then the next winter, got some more, and so on and so forth. And then it was like, can you do weddings? Can you do buffet-style wedding? Can you do plated? Can you do this? And that's all the experience I had from Savory's. You know, I was doing stuff like that. And so then we started to outgrow the VFW, you know, which I'm so thankful for that place. Like, the crew of people over there, I don't know what I would have done without their support that whole time. So yeah, we outgrew them, you know. They had limited space. We needed more equipment. We needed more stuff if we wanted to grow. So that's when Nextdoor happened. And it was kind of cool because we were looking for a while. Like, I wanted to stay in Lincoln Park because that's where we were. But, like, every building was either way too big or didn't fit what we needed it for. And so when that building across the street came along, it was perfect. I mean, it has a back lot. It has a part space for the food truck. And it was perfect. And West Duluth, I love it out here. Like, I think there's, you and I have talked about this a few different times. There's so much potential out here. And I feel like naturally, this is where everything is going to organically grow more. I feel like Lincoln Park's tapped. It's kind of a new canal park, if you will, to me, I think.
Yeah.
And I feel like anybody who wants to start something new, they're going to find a lot of opportunity to be able to do it out this way. And so
I just don't want it to be the new canal park.
No, and
or
that's
even
what,
the new Lincoln Park. I just wanted to kind
that's
of just,
what you're,
maybe they can keep going to Gary.
Well, and I think that's. I think. Yeah. I think this will be. I think I really think like West Duluth will be like a cool local, and it is right now. But I think it's going to continue to grow and be like a local hangout spot.
I think with Soz being here as long as it has, with Zenith now joining a lot over the last few years, and then Midcoast, and now the Tasting Room. Yeah,
like the
I think
West,
100%.
Like everything.
Oh, in the
there's
West,
so
oh my God,
much.
West,
yeah, I mean,
West,
there's just
and,
so
and
much
the
going.
New Alejandra.
I don't even know.
Next to the West, that
yeah.
That,
the oh, is so, that with the new little like?
Yep. So that's another theater, and it's gonna and they're gonna
I've
be cutting the hole
that.
Soon and okay. combining them. There's gonna be an extra screen and a. Another small music venue bar.
Oh, cool, okay.
You know,
like Boreal House is cool.
Boreal's great.
It's around the corner, yeah.
Jade Fountain's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, this street alone, oh my God, there's so much. Yeah,
there is. There's a lot. Yeah. There's so much that, and everybody's kind of doing their own thing, and I just feel like.
And even the old school things are cool. I mean, the Gopher, Rustic, Mr. D's, they all have their niches.
Right.
And they all have their cultures, and it's,
for sure.
So to have all the new with all the old, and the architecture out here is kind of fun too. Some of these old buildings have been here. This building was built in 1897,
so Tel Rico's building that I just took over, that was the same year that his was
97
erected.
Yeah, this is like a really old block.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep. Well, then it's just like, was it just the foundation that they're counting, like the rest of the building? I don't know.
No, this building is so old. When I renovated it, it's all square nails.
How old
it's
is
Douglas,
it? Sorry.
Douglas. How old is it? It's like Douglas fir. The 2x4s were all 2x4s. Everything we changed, we have to shim because the 2x4s were 2x4.
Yeah.
And 2x4s aren't 2x4 anymore. Right. You know, the nails are like handmade square nails. It's crazy. It's like.
It's so cool.
It's so cool, though. And bluestone foundation. It's all really. This building was condemned, sold for $5,000. They came and propped it all up, sistered things and put in I-beams and put in. They spent a ton of money in the 70s fixing this building from collapse, actually.
Crazy.
Yeah. It sold for $5,000 in 1970-something.
Do you know who did all those repairs?
I don't remember.
I remember you mentioning
I looked
photo
it up
studio.
Way back, but you know, it's in the, if you, you know, look it up in the registry, it's there's a list. You can go, it's all public knowledge, but I can't remember. And at some point, there was a Telerico that owned this building. I don't think it was Mike.
There's a lot of Telericos up here. There are, because I asked him too. There was a Telerico at the VFW, and I asked Michael, I was like, you related to Rico, Ralph? He's like, there's a lot of us up here. I don't know.
He doesn't know.
Yeah, he doesn't know. No, but it will be really cool to see what happens out here over the next 10 years.
When do you think this new space is going to open?
I think, so we're going to do our open house on October 5th.
That's so on we're gonna, Saturday.
Yep. So we'll have some music like in that back lot.
Do you know that?
Because I know. Because the 7th is a Monday.
He's like Rain Man. But so we're gonna do something a little small invite thing. We'll have music in the back and just have people invite people to come check out the new space and,
that's so
and
cool.
Do food, do some free food. Start utilizing that liquor license.
Yep. And that insurance.
And that insurance. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I can't wait to see how that is. Maybe that's something you and I can talk about a little later.
I don't have full liquor, just beer and wine. Keeping it chill. Plus, there's nowhere to put any more anything anywhere in this place.
Oh, you know, you can find some space.
I don't.
You
think
always
so.
Can.
No.
Yep.
I don't know. I walked around a little bit. I don't know.
But yeah, so opening, we're going to do that October 5th, and then I'm still holding off on booking anything until everything kind of falls into place.
Yeah,
you know, I want to make sure we get that liquor license. I want to make sure all the construction is done thoroughly and everything's good to go. And I've seen other people, venues open or say they're going to open at a certain point or start booking stuff at their place and you know, didn't finish in time, and now they're backtracking, and I don't want that to happen.
You've got enough ulcers.
I've got, yeah. I've screwed up enough in my life. I can try to prevent this mistake, you know?
Yeah. And I suppose that's the benefit of doing all this for the last 12 years, then, is you're kind of going, okay, well, before I make a bunch of mistakes.
Slow down. Yeah.
Here's a question for Maisie upstairs who's working. Why are your hot dogs so good?
Why are they hot? That's actually my favorite thing on the food truck.
Oh, it's hers too.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, girl. I honestly, every time I work on the truck, I have one. I don't know. They're good.
They are good.
We wrap them in the bacon we use is really good on them.
That
wrap
was her
them,
theory. Was that it was the bacon.
That's like a border Arizona-Mexico thing almost, right? Like the food trucks. Like I know like when you're down right on the border, they'll have the taco and hot dog stands next together with the salsa bar in between. And the,
okay,
and the
I've never seen it. I've seen it.
And they'll take the bacon, they'll whip it around the hot dog and go, and then they'll grill it for you. And then they'll put all the
all the condiments on it. No,
mayo, I mean, ketchup, maybe, mustard.
Yeah. Boy. No, I don't know. Every time I've been down there, it's always been tacos.
Tacos.
Yep. You know, tacos.
But the Mexican hot dog's kind of like that. It has that soft bun thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Bolo bun maybe or something.
Is that the ones that like that they use for like lobster rolls?
Maybe.
Is that what you're talking
kinda
about?
Like
where
that.
It looks like a piece of white bread almost?
Yeah.
That like, yeah, okay.
I think some. I'm not the expert. You know, I just partake.
You're an expert on something, Jay.
I will eat a hot dog.
Yeah. Call me crazy.
If it's wrapped in bacon, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Everything wrapped in bacon is pretty solid.
I was listening to the interview with the girl that wrote the book, Raw Dog.
What's the book?
It's a new book. She just went around and ate like 200 hot dogs all over. And,
oh, okay.
You know, she's like mad about the Chicago dog being anti-ketchup. And you know, everyone's got their different take and what's acceptable. And her worst was Three Ring Circus, which was onion rings, little hot pepper rings, and then SpaghettiOs.
Oh, spaghetti. Yeah.
And she's like, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Why'd they do the SpaghettiOs? Yeah, that's just wrecks it.
Yep.
Getting sidetracked, of
course. You can't put Chef Boyardee on your menu.
You just shouldn't put it.
Spam is a different story. You can put spam on the menu.
You could, especially in Minnesota. You could do some cool stuff. Yeah, Minnesota and Hawaii. Those are the two places that it's okay to do. But
Philippines.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We're talking about the United States. We're not qualified to talk about anything foreign.
Right? Yeah. No, not definitely not.
We're domestic only, please.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and I was wondering too, we've kind of touched a little bit on, well, I guess mainly the being a part of this Central Avenue business area. Like, do people have a name for it? I mean, it's not, you know, they have like Lincoln Park and
Spirit Valley.
That's what it is. Oh my God. Yeah.
Not Teen Spirit.
It's funny though. You'll talk to some of the local people, and some of the local people don't like the Spirit Valley.
I was literally about to say
West Duluth or the friendly West End.
Yep. Yeah.
Not Lincoln Park, West End, West Duluth.
Right. That's what I call it. Yeah. That's why I was confused about
it.
That's confusing.
I block it out.
It's confusing to me though, because Lincoln Park's West End, right?
Yeah.
And like in my mind, like, I've been up here since 2004. I did live in Duluth till I was two, if you're listening. So I'm somewhat kind of an original Duluth guy. Anyways, I feel like West End would make sense for this to be West End.
Yeah, that's what I was
call
as a kid
West
too.
End, but.
But it's not. West Lincoln Park's West End, like, and then this is West Duluth.
Yeah, it's that train bridge that divides it.
That is true. Anyone who grew up and went to these neighborhoods, like, yeah, that train bridge is the line. And I was just talking to someone the other day about that. And I know when I opened this place, I found out real quick, don't mention I live by Chester Creek.
Why?
Cake eater?
But not even close, apparently. It's like, I don't even like cake. I didn't like cake until Tina started working at How Sweet It Is and started bringing home like these giant pieces of awesome cake with like French meringue buttercream stuff and raspberry filling. I was like, okay, maybe I do like cake, but I didn't like it until then. But you know, before it was like, this is gross and dry and from Super One or something. I don't know. It's like, cake. I don't know. But it's like there's so much pride.
Yeah,
it's like everyone thought I lived above, and when I first opened, it was like a couple times, it was like, wait, you don't live here? I'm like, well, I live in Duluth. Well, where do you live? Well, I live up by Chester Creek. I was like, is this a problem?
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I found out you lived out east too, and I was like, what?
What? You do what?
No, we just told everyone.
Why do you live out there?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Just going to start lying. Yeah, I live 3 blocks away, dude.
I live in...
Yeah.
It was my dream to live above my cafe. That was my dream. But then when I bought this building, it had an apartment with someone in it, and I already had bought a house for really cheap. And I was like, well, my mortgage is only $300 a month, and they're paying $550 a month. I'm like, maybe I should just stay in my house, which is what happened.
And still, though, I feel like you need that separation, man.
I would be so sad if I lived above, because... Like upstairs, Dave can be upstairs. No one's like, you need to fix my car right now. Yeah. It's like, no, he doesn't live above Belknap Auto. He lives above here, and he can go to sit in his underwear and watch TV. But I know I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, no, nope.
Work to do.
Yeah,
it's like always the dishwasher's broken. I'm like,
again.
Yeah,
you kidding me?
You need to be able to separate.
Yeah.
So my question then,
I was meandering.
We're back.
Because I know you, as a food truck, you go around other businesses. And so I was just curious about your relationship with the breweries and other businesses that you end up parking in front of. And do you interact much?
A lot of them have been good. I mean, the number one... We've been with Bent Paddle since they've opened. Obviously, like, they were the first,
not the first brewery.
But, like, I mean, well, because there's Lake Superior Brewery was here, but they were a little bit smaller, right? Mm-hmm. But Bent Paddle's the one who kind of brought what other breweries were doing around the country, mm-hmm. right? And brought that, like, sense of community and welcome everybody and bring mm-hmm. your dog mm-hmm. and your kids and all that stuff, right? And let's do music. And you know what I mean? It was a hip place, and so... We've been with them since they opened. They opened a year after we did, I think. They were 2013. And then everybody else who's opened, you know, the cider houses, and I think all have done a great job. And I think there's enough food trucks around. And that's the other thing with me. It's like, well, how much longer do we keep going with the food truck? Mm-hmm. You know, I love it. And it's what got me to where I am today. But it's like, I mean, there's when I first started, there was two of us, kind of three of us. There was a rogue bus out of Michigan who kept kind of screwing stuff up for us.
Rogue Michigan bus.
Yeah, he's kind of the reason why, because we helped the city come up with rules and regulations for food trucks. Oh. And because there were none, all that you needed was a peddler's license, and it was $80, and nothing to it pertained to what we were doing. And so
peddler's license, that sounds illegal.
Oh, it would have been great.
What are you peddling for Michigan?
$80
Where's?
But this dude was going down to like Canal Park and parking in front of grandma's. And okay. Like stuff that I know, like, yeah, this might be my first year, but I'm not going to go park in front of another restaurant, you know?
Yeah, odd choice.
And there's, so like the Canal Park Restaurant Association got all up in arms about food trucks, and rightfully so in some type of a way. Like they, you know, this is at this time too, the IDS building and all the restaurants down in the cities were like, there's so many food trucks down here and they're stealing our business, which, you know, we could sit and debate all day whether it's right or wrong. That's mine.
You're burning the biscuits.
Right? Get back to work. now there's last time I asked the city clerk, I think she said there's like over 60 carts, and I think it's registered within Duluth. You know what I mean?
What?
So that would be a donut stand, you know, people who are doing stuff
still,
down at.
That's
I know
a lot.
It's a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how long do we keep going still?
Yeah, it just because it's oversaturated at this point, you think?
Or is it because it's from 1999, you know, it's going to blow
dude,
a transmission.
She will make it forever. Oh, dude. She's solid.
Point, yeah.
But it's like, if it breaks, is it going to be worth putting $10,000 in it to keep it going for another 5,000?
Well, that's
years?
Not
going
to go forever. That's like,
yeah, I know. And so that's kind of like where I'm at right now. It's like, you know, we had a huge part in starting it up in Duluth. Like we have the catering company. Hopefully the tasting room goes well. We'll see what happens. And like, what next? You know what I mean? Do you really need to keep doing more, or are you just, you know, happy with what you got going and content? And I'm pretty happy with where we're at right now. And
well,
I mean, I could park the food truck in that back lot. And do something cool like that back there. You know what I mean? And it all depends on what happens back here, right?
Yeah.
What's going to happen in the Kmart lot?
Oh, that's exactly it.
What's going to happen?
Empty,
you know
right?
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what's going to happen, you know? And back to what we were talking about before, there's so much potential out here. I just wish somebody with like $1 billion would see it and throw it into this community out here. You know what I mean? There's,
yeah.
Buy that lot, do something cool. And,
I'm always scared with a billionaire buying
okay, maybe
everything.
Not a billionaire, but you know what I mean? Somebody who cares.
Millionaire.
Okay, a millionaire who cares about West Duluth.
Yes.
But I mean, there's a lot of potential. Like all the shops off Grand Avenue over there
are cool.
It's so cool. Like
yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of potential to grow some cool businesses in a really cool area to hang out mm-hmm. and raise a family, bring some type of sense of joy to this side of town.
Yeah.
In my
yeah.
opinion.
This side of town has so much cool stuff actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I didn't know the difference between any part of town. So when I started coming out here way back when Kathy had the Italian market, she'd come get cappuccinos. I'd come out here and I didn't understand there was a difference.
Right. It was all just Duluth.
It was Duluth to me. Yeah. So I didn't know there was cake on one side. I didn't know.
Well,
I didn't know there was a difference.
It's crazy to think. I think there's like 38 subsections of Duluth. Like between, I forgot what the number is.
I wonder what it is, but
you got Piedmont, West End, West Duluth, Gary,
Morgan Park,
all
Riverside.
These, yeah.
Well, yeah
it's like 30
suppose,
something.
Yeah.
When somebody said that, I was like, whatever. And I looked them up and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's pretty crazy. You know, Woodland, Central Hillside, this
yeah,
and that.
All the whole East Side is all, I don't even know anything.
Yeah.
I guess Chester would be my neighborhood. Someone's like, you're not a hillsider. I'm like, I'm not. It seems like there's a big hill to my house
yeah.
when I'm biking home, but.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It sure feels like a hill.
Yeah. No, you're Chester.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, whatever.
Sorry, bro. Calm down.
Well, I still feel like I'm going to puke once I get home. Ugh. That seemed like a hill.
Are you born in East Duluth?
No, I graduated high school and my parents helped me buy my house that I still live in. It was like a $50,000 house.
Where did you grow up?
In a cornfield.
Okay.
No.
Where did you grow up? Are you Duluth?
I'm from Duluth. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And my parents bought a house near Denfield in like 2007. And okay. So I was there until I moved out a couple years ago. So yeah.
Nice.
Leaf Valley, the little town through the cornfield that you could call a town, and 10 miles away was a town of 200, Garfield, and that's where I went to elementary. And
yeah, that was a big city.
That was a big town.
Yeah, a big town.
They
yeah,
had a, right. had a grocery store and a diner, yeah, and a school. And then Alexandria was the metropolis where yeah. I went to high school.
All right.
Well, I think this has been a blast.
I've gone through my list.
This is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? We had a good conversation.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if there's anything specific you'd want to promote besides what you've already mentioned.
You can find us every night, like at every Thursday night at Ben Paddle. Tuesdays we're at St. Luke's. The rest of the week's kind of up in the air. So you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram. We always post where we're at every day, put out a weekly schedule.
And always some fun photos.
Yeah. Yep. Kels does a great job with our social media. Yeah, check us out. Come find us. Whatever you need, we got you. We like to take care of our people.
Drive by and see the new facade. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just funny because I've been looking at it from just the sidewalk in front of it, and I actually, like 2 days ago, came over here and walked back over. Yeah. I was like, it does look pretty cool.
I've been watching it.
I was pretty pumped about it.
Yeah. I was like working, making coffee, and turning around like, what are they doing? What is that? That is the...
I'm excited for Telerico to come and see the building again, man. Like, because it's, I mean, it's night and day from his law office to what it is now. And so, like, that's kind of one of the most things I'm excited about.
I thought I was going to see him this week because every Alpines North, they're in here at 8 in the morning getting a beer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they didn't this year.
No?
I don't know what happened. Maybe the doctor said, no. I don't know.
Oh, man, yeah, I
didn't see him this year.
Yeah, I gotta get a hold of him. He's a good dude, good guy. Well, thanks, boys. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
Definitely.
Quite the trek over.